All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Ephesians 6 once again tonight. And we have been doing this study on the Christian armor for months now. I don't know exactly when we started, but it's been a while. And we are cruising right along to the 15th verse, where we are told that the Christian armor, the good soldier, is to have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, so if you remember in our last study, not last week because I was at the sword conference, but in our last study, we looked at this verse, and I showed you that that the word preparation has a few synonyms that that help us. In other words, the word that is here is translated a couple of ways in the New Testament. Same word, but it has a couple of other synonyms that the King James translators used, all right? And so from these synonyms, we can kind of get a good idea about what the preparation of the gospel of peace is all about, all right? Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, let me stop right here and say to you, and we got to stay in the context. We've got to stay. We got to stay where we are. All right. Not go wandering out somewhere else, trying to find something to make the point. No, the point is made right here, and here it is. The challenge is to stand. All right. Does everybody see that? I mean, the challenge is to stand. You look, please, at verse 11, after he tells us that we are to be strong in the Lord. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to, what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There it is again. So the challenge here is for us as believers, as warriors for the Lord, the challenge is for us to stand. And so what do we do with our feet? We stand. Exactly right. When I stood up just a moment ago, I did not get on my hands and stand on my hands and walk over here to the microphone. No, I stood on my feet. And so your feet are a very important part of your anatomy. If something goes wrong with your feet, you're in trouble. All right? That's I made the point a couple of weeks ago that the military makes a big to-do about you taking care of your feet as a soldier. They make sure that you know how to properly take care of your feet. Because if you get a blister or if you get hurt in some way, you pull a ligament or do something in your foot, then it's going to be difficult for you to carry out your responsibilities and to be a good soldier, and difficult for you to stand. So all the way through this entire section, beginning in verse 10, going all the way through verse 18, we see the Christian armor that we are to put on, and the reason that we are to put it on is so we can stand. And that is what Paul is after here. Stand, 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 stand. All right? And he drives that home. Now, I mentioned that last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that when John Wycliffe was translating the received text into English back in the 1300s, he said in his notes, he said that the word preparation has the idea of having a readiness, or being prepared. So having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you remember back in the Old Testament, and then Paul quotes it in the New Testament, and he says how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. All right, so you take care of your feet so you can stand. You are prepared and ready. There's always this readiness about you to share that gospel message. Another commentator stated the word has the idea of equipment. So you and I are equipped with the gospel of peace. We go with that gospel of peace, standing firmly upon what we believe. Now, the application that I made 2 weeks ago was that we need to know what we believe. All right? That's so vital. We need to know what we believe. We need to know, as Peter said, why we believe it. So you know what you believe, and Peter said, and then know why you believe it. And then be ready. There's the word, see, you be prepared, you be equipped to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. So the whole idea behind all of this is the feet shod with the preparation, the readiness, the equipment, so that we can be those who spread the gospel and stand firmly upon what we believe. What we believe is what we share, all right? That's the gospel. We share the truth of the gospel of Christ, and we are firm on that. We stand on that. I've said to you many times before that one of the things that I have strived to accomplish here at Church of the Open Door is that when the community thinks about our church, the thing that comes to mind is those folks are always trying to get people saved. Yeah. I mean, that should be what we're known for. You know, that should be what we're known for. I've said to you many times through the years that we try to keep soul winning on the front burner. All right? We want that to be the main thing. And so we make much of telling others about Christ. We train soul winners. That's one thing that most churches don't do anymore. They don't do it at all. It's just absolutely amazing that there are many, many, many churches, and I'm talking about guys who say they are fundamental and independent, separated from this and that and all the rest of it. But do you train soul winners? What? What? And they don't. And that's sad. I think probably that's one reason why the church is in a spiritual condition that it is in today all across this country, because we have left our first love, just like the church at Ephesus left our first love. So in the application that was put forth, I said we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and we should not be so easily
toppled by what we believe. Don't get knocked over. Don't let somebody trip you up. You know what you believe. You know why you believe it, and you're ready to give an answer. So if your feet are shod with that preparation, with that equipment of the gospel of peace, then don't let anybody dissuade you to go backwards on what you believe, okay? You believe the truth of God, the truth of God's word. Jesus said that my word is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. All right, so our job is to stand on that. And all over America, churches and mission boards and Bible colleges, this is what grieves me so much, these Bible colleges that no longer believe the way they used to believe just 15, 20 years ago. They've changed. And they've softened their stand, and they're changing their stands. And then pastors are changing, and evangelists are changing and changing their stands almost regularly. You hear reports about folks that are not standing upon the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're dipping their sails. They are going with the flow and not standing for God. When I was pastoring in West Virginia, I was sort of the unofficial state evangelist. All right, I would all the time, more than I should have. I would go somewhere and preach, usually an hour, 2 hours from home, no longer than that. And then I would drive back so I could be in the office the next day. And then I'd take off again at 4:30, drive to the church again, preach that night, and then drive home that night. And I did that over and over and over and over. I mean, way too much. And the Lord dealt with me about it, and I stopped it. All right? I figured my kids needed to know me. And not just wave at me as I go out the door. And so I stopped a lot of that, most of it. And then we moved to Illinois, and I started getting invitations from Dr. Hudson and some of them to do sort of the Lord conferences. So I thought that was a great honor, and that they would want me to join on a sword platform, and so I started preaching in sword conferences, and for the 31 years that I've been here, I have preached in a lot of churches. Most of the time, I would leave on Monday morning, fly out somewhere. And if it was within 6 hours, I would drive it, or 8 hours, I would drive it. But then if it was any further than that, I'd fly. And I would go somewhere across the country and meet up with Dr. Smith or with Dr. Hamlin or several others. And we would hold sword conferences, many sword conferences in churches, and then I fly back for Wednesday night. And you say, well, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't want you to know that, all right? So that's why I didn't tell you most of the time. But anyway, I don't do that anymore, hardly at all. And it's not because I don't want to, but it's because so many of our group have changed. And they don't want me to come and preach in their church because they don't want me to know what kind of music they have. They don't want me to know what kind of Bible they have in the backs of their pews. Yeah. They don't want me to know all that. And it's been a while since I've gone out preaching around the country. Used to be several years back, I would go sometimes 3 weeks out of the month. Leave on a Monday morning, come back Wednesday afternoon. Or leave on Thursday morning and come back Saturday and preach Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, and then fly home on Saturday. All right? But all that's changed. All that's changed. And the reason it's changed is not because I've changed. It's not that they don't want me because I'm liberal now. All right? I am anything but liberal, as you well know. I despise that word, except for when it comes to giving. All right? But I don't do it because I'm not welcome. And Dr. Smith and I have talked about that. And he smiles and says, man, me too. I used to preach out every week. I used to go every week and represent the sword and have conferences. Not anymore. Why? Because all over the place, there's compromise. Men of God are not standing for the truth of God. They're not standing for the gospel of peace. They're not standing for the authority of the Word of God. And that is a sad commentary to where we are in America today. Where is a sad commentary. Now, understand this, folks, as the world continues to get worse and worse, there are multitudes of people who are just sliding right along with the world. They're just sliding right along with the world. Hold your place here in Ephesians. Well, your Bible will probably just fall open to it, so you don't have to worry about that. But go to 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. Let me show you a principle here. Let me show you a principle out of 1 John chapter 2. All right, 1 John 2. Look at verse 15. If you've got it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's start. Love not the world. That's pretty clear, isn't it? See, I wonder what the Greek means. It means love not the world. That's what it means. All right? It's simple. Christian, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now watch, the lust of the flesh, that's everything you ever would want to do. That's everything you ever want to do, the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes, that's everything you'd ever like to have. You see something, you say, I'd like to have that. That's the lust of the eyes. And the pride of life, that's everything you'd ever want to be. That's the world. All right? When John's talking about the world here, he's talking about the world of society. He's talking about not a place. He's talking about a mindset. All right? He's talking about a concept, the world. Now watch. He said that All those three things, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now watch this carefully. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right, now watch. Watch me carefully here. All right. Here's God. All right. Y'all see God? No, you don't. But in your mind, here's God. Okay. This is God. What do we know about God? Well, we know he's omnipotent. Right. All powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's God. And he is immutable. What's immutable mean? Unchanging. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like Jesus. Jesus Christ, Hebrews says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? So here's God. And he never changes. You know what that means? That means that the same God that gave Moses the law and was dead against homosexuality is the same God today. Because he doesn't change. All right? And yet you'll see and hear all these, well, you know, God's a gracious God. No, he's the same that he's always been. He never changes. All right? But now look at your Bible. The world passeth away. Now you remember that I've explained to you that in the English language we have three tenses to a verb. There is past tense, present tense, and future tense. All right, now with Greek, Koine Greek, the ancient Greek that the Bible, the received text was written in Koine Greek, there are 40 tenses to a verb. That's what made Greek so difficult to learn, that and the fact that it's a dead language. All right? But 40 tenses to a verb. Now you think of that. If there are 40 tenses to a verb, you can pretty well nail it down what the action is. And that little word passeth, that you see right there. The world passeth away. That is a tense that means this, that the world is constantly, always, and forever passing away. All right, you got that? All right, so what do we know about God? Immutable, never changes. What do we know about the world? The world is always getting further and further and further away from God. It is constantly in the process of passing away. Does that make sense to you? And so here's God. He stays put. He never changes. Truth is truth. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Period. Some things just are what they are. And God is immutable. Truth is immutable. The Bible is immutable. Never changes. You say, well, people come out with different translations. They can call it God's word if they want. I'm sorry. It's not. This is God's word right here. This one's been proven. It's endured the test. So the Word of God never changes. All right, so what do we know? The world, it just keeps going away from God. With each and every passing day, the world just gets further away from God. That's why, folks, when you were growing up, the world was not near as bad and drawing and the devil able to get his hooks in people like he does today. All right? I remember saying when my kids were little, I remember saying, man, I think the world's worse today than it was when I was a teenager. And I believe that. And oh, by the way, it's worse now than it was when my kids were teenagers. Yeah. So the whole idea here, folks, is the world is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. All right? And as it does, it gets further and further away from God. You see that? Now, truth doesn't change. World does. And so here's somebody in the world, and they hear the gospel, and they trust Christ as their Savior. And so the Lord comes over and plucks them out of the world and brings them over here and says, now you hang out over here. I want you in my word. I want you in church. I want you growing. I want you to get baptized and become a member of the church. I want you to take the Soul Winners Club. I want you in the choir. I want you to volunteer to work in the nursery. You serve me. Serve me. You see, that'll keep you close. All right? But then every now and then, what do? We start looking back over into the world. You see, for some folks, it hadn't been all that long since you were hanging out over there. And it still draws you. It works on you, doesn't it? And so what happens? Well, Christian goes running back over here to the world, and then the Spirit convicts, and he looks back over, and God's going, so here you go back over here again. And folks, what happens? The world just keeps getting further and further and further away. So what happens is the distance between the world and God just grows wider and wider. And what we end up doing is exhausting ourselves running back and forth. Oh, by the way, isn't that what James said? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah. Double-minded? Yeah. One mind over here with God and one mind over here with the world. Sunday rolls around and, come on, we got to go to church. All right, let's go. And we're back over here. And then Monday comes along, and the guys at the office say, man, let me tell you this joke. And the next thing you know, you're right back over there, all ears. And it's a constant struggle. That's the battle that the Christian has to fight. So what's Paul saying here? Here's what he's saying. Get your feet shod. Get your feet shod. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Folks, listen, you read that Bible, you can't help but want to hang around with God. You know why? He's awesome. He is absolutely awesome. And you read that Bible and he speaks to your heart. And you come to church and you fellowship with people of like faith, And that stirs your heart. And you sing the songs of Zion, and man, your heart just draws to the Lord. And all that is just a Christian making up his mind he's going to stand. So let me ask you, Christian, are your feet shod? Are your feet shod? I mean, I hope you got your shoes on, you know what I mean? This is the great need of the hour. I think this is the call of God to the church and to Christians in America today. Stand. Just stand. Years ago, when I came here, Dr. Grammer was, and many of you might not know this, but Dr. Grammer was one of my assistants here for several years, many years. And but here's how all this developed. He was the pastor of Granite Baptist Church down in Glen Burnie. And he decided he wanted to retire. So he retired, and he had worked with some other pastors, and they had this camp up here in, just outside of Hanover called Pamadiva. It was P-A, Pennsylvania, M, for Maryland and Delaware and you know, I don't know where else. But anyway, that was the camp. And they used to bring churches up there and have camp every summer, several camps. And so Dr. Grammer thought, well, I'll just run Pamadiva, you know. And so then he said, well, I got to go to church somewhere. So he started visiting around, going to churches, and he ended up coming here. And lo and behold, he and I hit it off. And so he said, well, I'm just going to go to church at Church the Open Door. And so about 6 months went by, and he came to me one day and just walked in the office, said, Pastor, this retirement thing's killing me. You got anything I can do? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, I mean, is there anything that just I need that you need done? And I said, well, you could, I mean, how much you wanting to work? And he said, oh, I don't know, maybe 2 days a week. And I said, well, okay. All right, let me work on that. So I worked on it and came up with a little plan of action that I thought he'd be happy with. And so I gave it to him, told him, he said, I don't want paid. You don't have to pay me. And I liked it even better when he said that. And no, if you're going to work, we're going to pay you. Oh, I don't want to get paid. I said, well, you're going to get paid. And so he started out 2 days a week, and that lasted about, I think, maybe 2 weeks, maybe three. Didn't last very long. And next thing you know, he's working 3 days a week, and then he come to me and he said, can I just come on full time? And I said, sure. I said, you can. Well, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, here's what I want you to do. I said, we don't have any problem getting them to come in the front doors. But we have a terrible problem keeping them from going out the back door. And he said, Pastor, every church has that. And I said, well, can you shut the back door? And he kind of smiled and said, I doubt it, but I'll try. And so one thing led to another, and he just came to me one day totally frustrated, and he said, Preacher, I am just so frustrated. You can't shut that back door no matter how hard you try. And I said, yeah, I'm kind of noticing that. And I was talking to others, and they were all other pastors, and they were telling me the same thing. He said, one pastor told me, yep, I can get them through the front, but I can't keep them. They come in and just boom, they go out the back door. And so I just went, I went to him and I said, Doc, I said, listen, we have got to do something. I don't know what we do. We had a staff meeting one morning, and that's all we talked about. And I said, well, here's one thing we could do. We could all get shotguns, and we could stand at the back doors and just look at them when they start going out the back door. And Dr. Grammer laughed, and he said, well, we've tried everything else. Maybe we ought to try that. And but Dr. Grammer ended up staying about, I think, what was it, about 14 years maybe? A long time. Yeah, he stayed here a long time. And finally came one day and said he was going to move along and retire. He said, but I got to get out of Carroll County, and if I retire, because I know I'll just keep coming back. Dr. Grammer, the reason we in this conversation, the reason that this was his opinion, he said the reason why folks go through the front door and then go out the back door is this. They don't know what they believe. They're not settled on what they believe. Whatever happened to grounded and settled? Whatever happened to that? That's a concept that went out the door many, many years ago. Grounded and settled. You know, I got some convictions. You all know I got some convictions. And I have tried my best to convince you to accept my convictions. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I stand on that. I am not about to compromise on the Bible. You'd just be better off to get a gun and shoot me, because I'm never going to back up on that. Never. I just happen to believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again. I believe the rapture, then the tribulation, then the return, then the millennium, and then new heaven and new earth. I just believe that. You're not going to convince me otherwise. And I've spent my 30 years here trying to convince you that that's how it's going to happen. Rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration, new heaven, new earth. I believe it with every fiber of my being. I just happen to believe that salvation is by grace through faith. And I'm not going to compromise on that. And I think, folks, I think that because of the stand that conviction has brought to me over all these years of studying the Bible and preaching the Bible, I believe it's that stand that has allowed our church to stand. You see the point? You gotta stand. The sky's blue and a bear has hair and grass is green and ice is cold and the sun's hot, and you gotta stand. That's just the way it is. So are your feet shod? All right? Are your feet shod? If your feet are shod and you're standing, you know what you believe and you're good. Let me tell you something, you're not going to be running out the back door. All right? You're just not going to do it. All right, well, that was the introduction to tonight. There were several rabbits that were chased in that introduction. But nonetheless, that was the introduction. So we just need folks who are going to just stand for what they believe. All right? So I tell you, this coming up is good. So maybe I might do it Sunday night. We'll see. But, I mean, it would be good for Sunday night. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul giving us all this armor that we are to put on. And we are to put on all this armor for one purpose, for one reason, so we'll stand. And having done all, to stand. And Father, I pray that you will help us to be unchanging, just like the God who has redeemed us. He never changes. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Father, help us to be convicted and stand upon the truth of your word. Father, give us understanding of what we have heard tonight. Give us that holy boldness to just take a stand for you and say, here I stand, I can do no more. So give us, Father, your conviction. Give us your heart. Give us your will. And Lord, help us to be what we ought to be for your glory. So bless now, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.